Pedro, let's switch the attention, or let's continue with this same theme of our training facilities in Singapore. For figure skating, where do you normally train? I guess...
For in Singapore, I train at the...
J-Cube, the only
Olympic size ring.
And in 1 week, how many hours of ice time do you get?
In 1 week, I would say about like 2 hours, 4 days a week. I'm not.
Okay.
4 days a week.
So so a total of 8 hours.
Eight hours.
I think anybody
like
can tell you 8 hours. Okay. So obviously you're sharing time with the public.
Yeah.
Is that disruptive to your mental preparations, especially when you need hours in the ring in order to choreograph and execute your routines?
I think doesn't like directly impact my mental
preparation.
Yeah. But like I think having more hours creates like the muscle memory. So that's why you see like a lot of the top skaters, like such as the Russians, you know, they train like 6 hours a day over and over, 6 days a week over and over and over, and then when they get to like the competition, boom, they are like, they just go in, they do it, and they're out. Like, they don't think, they just like let their body control. But I think for us, like since we don't have as much training time to create that muscle memory, we don't like, we go into competition and then we have like all these thoughts like, oh, what if this, or like, why have I misstepped this? Like, I think that's in a way how it affects how we deal with the mental stress. So I think that also adds like a bit of the pressure that we get.
Okay, so in your own words, as a rising athlete, what would the ideal situation be for you in terms of training?
I think ideal situation would have a dedicated ice rink for the competitive sports, like such as speed skating, figure skating, hockey, and also like maybe curling.
Curling.
Like how they say.
Can't forget curling.
Yeah.
That's not under our federation, by the way.
Oh.
It's a different federation.
Oh, yeah.
I need to do my homework. So now there's a new federation for curling.
Yes, there is.
So there's three winter sports.
Wow, okay.
So we're going to have three NSAs fighting for ice.
Yeah.
So I think like a rink would really help that, like ease the pressure and like help the sport grow, like all winter sports.
Yeah, you know, because over the years we've been joking that Singapore can't compete. I mean, the only winter sport that we can probably compete is curling, because curling is, you know, and now, like you said, I mean, there's an actual sporting discipline, and there's a federation as well. We probably need to bring them in soon. Coming back to you, Alicia. So ideally, like you said, having a purpose-built ring for the national team only would be a great investment in our athletes' rise to prominence, you think?
Before I address that, just to add to what Pedro was saying, because of the limited ice hours, a lot of our student athletes head overseas during their school breaks to train, and so that they maximize their training hours.
Mm.
In fact, in the lead up to SEA Games, our national short track coach brought the SEA Games team to China to train to optimize their preparation.
Mm.
So, So let me address your question.
Mm.
Whether
having a purpose-built ring for the national team only would be a great investment.
Yes, and therefore it is going to be a great investment, because we are now seeing our team having to head overseas to train for lack of hours in Singapore, We have been having this conversation with Sport Singapore for quite a while already. We hope to have a second rink, a dedicated training facility, if you will, and or additional ice hours, so that we can then expand our programs, expand the capacity of our programs, and accelerate the development of our skaters and our pipeline.
Mm.
But I'm glad you just posed this question to Boonie and Richard of SSI just recently on this very program. So we'd like to see as positive that they're still deliberating on this. The door's not closed, it's still on the table.
Yeah.
We'll keep the conversation going.
Ice skating athletes, and you know, they all delivered 4 gold medals. You don't think it's enough of a reason for Sport Singapore to now consider building a purpose-built ice rink instead of our athletes having to fight for time? I mean, I know the ice hockey fellas, they train at 1 a.m. in the morning. After work, they go back home, get dinner, and they come and train at 1, 2 a.m. in the morning, because they cannot compete on the ring when the public is playing at JCube.
Yeah.
So do you think it's about time, 2020, we start thinking of building an ice ring for the national
athletes? I think those considerations are always reviewed, right, as we consider our investment in public sporting facilities.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just apply to ice ring, it applies across the board.
Sure.
Right now, we have to find a financially sustainable model. Right, for that to happen. Otherwise, it's taxpayer money being spent on such facilities.
Yeah.
So, like I said, continued long-term development of a sport would obviously be positive for the growth of the sport, and that would definitely have impact on decisions regarding investment in facilities.
Okay. Alicia, the rink is only built for the national teams, which are winter sports related, like ice hockey, speed skating, figure skating, curling. Wouldn't the facility become a white elephant, so to speak, because it's underutilized during daytime when everybody is either at school or at work?
Not necessarily. Facilities such as this will face lower utilization in any case during the daytime when most people are at work or in school. So of course we'll have to have operating schedules that make sense, but I think the advantages far outweigh the challenges. Now, a lot of people have this impression that ice skating in Singapore is fairly new and niche. But do you know that ice skating has been in Singapore since 1974?
No, it has? Wow. Both of you were born.
Before,
yeah, I was 3 years old. Yeah.
So it's 46 years old in Singapore already, the sport.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so Singapore has had a long relationship with ice skating. Only in 2012, with the opening of our first and only Olympic-sized skating ring in JCube, then the sport became competitive. And since then, since 2012, we've sent skaters to World Championships, Asian Winter Games, SEA Games, and significantly to the Olympic Winter Games in 2018, when Cheyenne qualified for and competed and in Pyeongchang. So Singapore can potentially do well in ice sports. We've got the long history, we've got that runway. We don't need winter to do so. What we need is the infrastructure.
But most of the achievements that you mentioned also happened under when Sonia Chong was the president of the association. So, and now she's already stepped down. So great job, Sonia, over the years for all the achievements, you know, by CISA over the years. Trevor, would a purpose-built ice rink help raise your own game as you can be better focused and train without any distractions and eventually representing Singapore and bringing home the glory? No more penalties, no more this, no more that. Now you got all, and like he said, you train and train and train until it becomes like that and you just deliver.
Yeah, definitely. Like a purpose-built rink, yeah, we can train twice a day. And then like it's almost the same as, let's say, I go overseas to Korea to train. So right now in Singapore, we only, for short track, we only have twice a week ice session, like each 2 hours long, and like so it's really very little. Like for me as a short track speed skater, I need the ice feeling, like that feeling on ice. So that means like we in Singapore, we only have like ground training daily and then twice a week of ice. So not necessarily if we have that power, not necessarily we can translate that power over into the ice. So we may have a lot of power, but then if we can't translate it on the ice, then it's still the same, it's like useless. So that's why especially for ice sports, we need to like be able to translate, like we need to be able to like have many ice training so that we can like slowly be able to translate more and more power and then subsequently like our full potential like onto the ice. And then also the more the ice sessions, we are able to perfect our techniques. And yeah, just think of it this way, like running is like a very normal thing for like humans. So if we can skate like twice a day, so it's basically almost like we are walking daily, like or running, so it becomes a norm.
You've had the chance to travel, train overseas. What are the pros and cons of training outside of Singapore?
I feel like there's more, like I can't really find any cons with it, except for maybe like missing my home sometimes, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of there's a lot of pros. Mm. So last year I trained in Korea, and we have twice daily eye session, each lasting 2 to 3 hours long, and then I also have ground training daily, so that will take up about 1.5 hours to 2 hours. So I could definitely see myself significantly improving a lot. Mm. And in terms of, let's say, racing experience, like sometimes during the weekends we even get to race against like one another, like of the same, like skaters of the same level. And in Korea there are many skaters which are of like very, very high level, so I actually get to race against them and then get more experience through this manner of training. So I feel like training in Korea is definitely very good. Yeah.
Okay. Paige, we come to you next. You are already, you know, growing within the national team as far as figure skating is concerned. I believe you brought for us one of your the most essential element for your gear. Would you like to show us?
So these are actually the skate itself.
Yeah.
So this is the equipment that we have. We have to use on the ice, so this is what we use to jump, spin, do ages.
This is custom made for you?
This, my pad is custom made for my foot and my size.
Okay, yes. And are you able to reveal how much it cost for you as a national athlete?
As a national athlete, unfortunately we don't get any subsidies. maybe in the future I will, cause certain stuff, but... So, for this pair, if I'm not wrong, we pay about 2.2k for just this, like these two.
But why does it cost more than $2,000 for a super set of ice skates?
I'm not sure, but I think it being custom made may would probably add to the cost. Okay. But again, a lot of the top skaters, they have custom made boots, just like a lot of the top athletes have custom made equipment, because not everything fits like everyone. Yeah. So a lot of times when I have like teammates who just use like a stock skate or something like that, they get a lot of boot issues, they get pain in like their ankles, their foot, and that really affects the training. So I think like the custom is really important, especially if you want to perform at a top level.
Okay. And
I think it's also imported from elsewhere, so that has the cost as well.
CISA has a community-based program, I believe, Learn to Skate.
Yes, we do. So Learn to Skate is our beginner program, and it's developed by CISA and it's run by the rink in JQ. We have different levels. We have LTS 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we're actually in the middle of enhancing the program.
Right.
And from the Learn to Skate, the students can then branch out into the specialties, whether it's figure skating or short track speed skating.
Yeah, Pajil, of course, is an exceptional case. I mean, more than $2,000 for his skates. So that's because he's a national athlete. So when these aspiring young students who come forth and they show, you know, a passion that they want to embark on the program, how much do you think they have to sort of cough up?
Well, it really depends on the level and what they're prepared to spend. Mm. There is quite a sizable figure skating community, and there is an active secondhand market, I would say, for equipment. So it's not impossible for someone to pick up the sport and be able to get suitable equipment.
Mm. But if you want to book for figure skaters, of course, they have to book the entire rink. So that's about $60 an hour, right? If I'm at the rink.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But in his case, in Trevor's case, because it's like 5 or 6 of them when they train, they just split the course for that hour, correct?
Well, okay, the short track team, there's about 10 to 15 of them, usually. Okay.
On the ice.
Yeah, on ice. Yeah.
So it comes up to about maybe $6-$7.
The cost is, is $50 for 2 hours.
Oh, okay. Paige, what is your dream to achieve in the sport of figure skating?
I think every athlete's dream is to obviously make the Olympics, without a doubt. But also, think my other goal or dream is to really just like expand the sport in Singapore. Mm. So like she said, it's not exactly a new sport, but I think it's kind of like looked down upon in Singapore because number one, we're a tropical country. So if you talk about winter sport, it's kind of like what are you doing in winter sport in a country that's like hot, there's no snow, there's nothing in winter. And also like the cost as well, if you want to reach like top level. Like if you're talking about maybe the beginner at the start, I think the cost is quite okay and it's quite manageable. But when you reach like the top level, that's when it gets like pretty high, like all the cost. And I think by using my platform, especially as a male figure skater, I hope to like really just bring in a lot more people and bring the attention to this sport and just like grow it out in the island.
You said your dream is the Olympics. Is that a realistic dream and a target to be able to achieve?
I think it's a realistic dream. Between high and half. I know I've had a lot of top level former figure skaters, such as like former Olympians and high level coaches that coach like the best of the best in the world, show a lot of confidence in me in making the Olympics. But I think ultimately it's all down to me, like how much I want it and how much I am willing to put into the sport and how much I'm willing to work for it.
What would you say is your source of hope and inspiration as you, you know, you compete on the higher levels?
I think for my source of hope and inspiration, I think when it gets to the tough times, you really have to like dig deep and like think whether you want it or not, you know. It's really all how much you want it.
How badly do you want it?
Yeah. Because like, for example, like, oh, you can say, oh, I want to make it, but like, you don't want to work for it. Then obviously you're not going to make it, right? But like, if you're like, I want to make it and like, die must make it. Like, that is my goal and I have to make it no matter what. Whether you get injured, you still continue. That's like my mindset personally. You know, like, whatever you want to, you have to work for it. There's no other way. You can't like go around like, oh, you cheat this way or cheat that way.
Shortcuts.
You can't. Mm. You just like, the only way to succeed is work hard. And I think also like having my parents by my side all the time. You know, like they're always there 24/7. Whenever I need it, I have an injury, call them. They can book an appointment. They will shuffle me to the physio. And like having that amount of support, really helps to like hold me strong and like keep me motivated to keep on going even through like all the tough times.
Good job, man. Trevor, you just returned from the World Junior Short Track Speed Skating Championships in Italy. Can you describe your experience?
It was a very good experience. So I managed to get 3 new national records as well as 3 PBs for the 500 meter event, 1000 meter and 1500 meter event. So
this time it was all good. No.
I felt that obviously I could have done a lot better.
No. But what then, I was saying is this time there's no penalty. No,
yeah.
Because you have already finished all of that already.
There was one penalty.
Oh, still
there. Yeah, but that was for my 1000 meter like during the heats. Yeah.
Pushing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand. Is this a common thing?
Yeah, it's very common.
It's common. Okay.
Yeah, almost every race there's a penalty or 2 penalties.
Okay. So
yeah.
When the penalty is what? It's a time penalty.
No. Just like if you push someone or something, then there'll be a penalty.
Yeah. You don't get disqualified in the race, right?
What do you mean?
The penalty is, do you add like 5 seconds to your...
No. You just, you don't have, you get the last position.
You don't advance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And...
So in the end, 3 personal bests.
Yeah, and I managed to qualify to the quarterfinal for my 1500 meter. And for my 500 meter, I qualified from the preliminaries to the heats. And for 1000 meters, I got a penalty. So in the end, I had to... I raced in the rapper charge and I managed to get a PB from there. Yeah, I managed to enhance my mental preparations. Like I'm practicing it from what I learned in WLG, and then like it actually is working out for me.
Yeah.
And like I'm beginning to learn more about race tactics, so like those are also working out for me, but I definitely need more race experience so like I can have like split second decisions. I can like decide whether I want to overtake outside like right now, or like should I just wait or go in front and lead, you know.
No, but it's great to see. I mean, from the SEA Games to the winter, the youth winter Olympics, and now to the World Juniors, it's all just eventually all coming together, you know, with fewer mistakes made as well. So great job. Looking ahead for the rest of the year, which other event or tournament are you most looking forward to compete and why?
This year there's not really much competitions, but except for maybe the World Championships happening next month. I'll be flying back to Korea this Saturday for like another 2-3 weeks of training before I head over to the World Championship also in Korea. That's maybe like my last competition of this season, and other than that I don't really have much other competitions this year. But next year there will be the World Cups, which are the Olympic qualifiers for the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics. So the 4 World Cups next year, they are very important for me. So I'll be taking another leave of absence from the Singapore Sports School next year. So I'll be training full time again, starting from maybe end of this year all the way to like Beijing if I manage to qualify.
So if you manage to qualify, you're going to take another 1 year off your studies?
No. If I manage to qualify, Beijing 2022 will be during January-February period, so I'll just skip school for that 1-2 months, and afterwards I'll come back to catch up on my studies.
Okay. We'll catch up with you then. Okay. Pajol, similar question to you as well. Looking ahead to 2020, which other event or tournament are you looking forward to and why?
I think I've discussed with my parents, for the first 6 months of this year, I'm going to focus more on studies because I missed 1 year of school.
Yep.
And I really want to like get back on that track of like, you know, going to school and getting the grades that I need. And I think for the first 6 months, the only competition that I'll be competing at will be locally is the nationals. So, and then after that, the next 6 months, be looking to qualify for, if our sport is in it, the next, the 2021 SEA Games, hopefully iSports is in it, and also looking to qualify for World Juniors as well. But the next 6 months will be planned like later on with our coach, because like I said, the first 6 months we are focusing more on studies.
One final question, I mean, you are in this photograph as well yourself, and here Chloe is here. I mean, when she won the gold, how did it feel when you saw Chloe actually win the gold?
I think I felt like,
this is the SEA Games.
First of all, I felt really proud of her, because I have a close friend and someone I talk to a lot and I seek a lot of help from. Like obviously she's like a mentor to me, and obviously a very close friend, because we've traveled together and we always like, we text each other all the time.
But because she's not based here, right?
Yeah, she's not based here. She's actually based in Canada. So I think the only way to like keep in contact with her is to text.
And the time zone.
Yeah, time zone is like bad because huge time difference.
Yeah.
So not a lot of time, but we still keep in contact and we keep that relationship strong. And I think like seeing her, you know, she was kind of disappointed in 2017 SEA Games because she knew she could have won but she didn't perform like to her best of abilities. And seeing like watching live like at the 2019 SEA Games, watching her like do so well in both programs and like winning overall, like just made me so proud of her. And like so appreciative to have like moments like this, because not everyone gets to experience like such moments. And it also like brought a lot of motivation, because you know like, oh, she did it, like, I can do it and I want to do it. Like I want to be like her and to stand on top of the podium with her with a medal, like that we can represent Singapore and like be proud of like what we've accomplished.
Nicely put. Alicia, let's take this discussion home. What is the main focus this year for CISA in terms of our national athletes?
Well, I'd like to keep the momentum going. As the boys have said, the next big goal is the Winter Olympics that's going to be happening in Beijing in 2022. The qualifying events are next year, so we'll need to ramp up the training and preparation.
What about the SEA Games in 2021?
Vietnam. We don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
Yeah,
yeah, same. Yeah. That's what their ice hockey right. counterparts also said the same thing.
We're not sure whether we're going to have it or not. Hopefully we do, but we're still not sure.
Okay. So, Beijing 2022, the Winter Olympics. Are there one or two exciting events in Singapore itself which the Singapore public can take note of?
Well, the next event for us is the Singapore National Figure Skating Open Championships.
Mm.
Mm. And that's happening in April. Well, at the moment it's scheduled for April.
Mm.
The last championships we had, we saw 139 skaters from 12 countries coming to compete.
Mm.
And that was the biggest ever in its 18-year history.
Mm.
So it's really good. It's again, it shows how the sport is growing in the region. Unfortunately, this year, because of the COVID virus, we don't know whether the numbers...
Yeah,
I guess we'll probably see fewer numbers.
Yeah.
But the championship at the moment is still going on. So do keep track of how our skaters are doing. Pedro will be there. He'll be competing.
Your Facebook page is the
CISA Facebook.
Okay. Okay, Alicia, what is your message to the fans of ice skating and short track speed skating? What would you like them to know for the rest of the year?
Well, Singapore is often described as a small tropical country, so seemingly incongruent with winter sports.
Mm.
But I think as the boys have shared their journey in both sports, both figure skating and short track speed skating, we do have the potential to do well. So we hope that the public continues to track the progress of our team, support our team as they represent Singapore in international competitions, and when possible, join us in our events and be a part of our ice skating community.
Nice. That's a nice way to wrap it up. Alicia, Pedro, Trevor, thank you very much for coming on board SG Sports Uncut. We wish the two of you the very best in your sporting careers as well as academically as well, and for winter sports and for ice skating. It's a brand new decade. Let's see what's in store for us for the next few years. So congratulations so far on all your success, and let's hope for the rest. Thank you very much for coming on board SG Sports Uncut.
Thank you.
And you just heard from our Team Singapore athletes and officials from the Singapore Ice Skating Association, as well as our friends from the Singapore Ice Hockey Association. So let's hope for the very best for the winter sports scene in Singapore. Well, if you have any feedback or any comments on this show, feel free to drop us an email at sgsportsuncut@gmail.com. Till the next time, I'm Raj Kumar. Bye for now.